A tremendous Friday to you. I am Jim Rome. How about a decky? Yeah, Alvin, hey, yeah, Friday.
Yeah.
The clones are like, hey, moron, it's Wednesday. It's not Friday. It is for me.
Today's Friday. Today's Friday. It is a short week.
What's cracking? Welcome to the program. Good to have you. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. What I'm getting at is I'm off tomorrow and Friday. We have a best of tomorrow. I've got Brian Weber coming in on Friday. So it's a long holiday weekend. That's great. That's fine. It's grand. What I'm saying is get your ass in here. We have got so much to get done today. I mean, I've got literally 5 hours of content that I've got to slam into a three-hour window. So you want to get your ass to Moz. So you want to get in right now. You can see Alvy already is on it. Alvy's hyped up on something. I saw Rit double-fisting hot cocoa and pumpkin pie already. That old man's on it. Look at him. Look at him. Are you watching? Hey, New York, get that. Now I'm directing, too. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, Rit is back there, double-fisted, one hand. Do it again. Show them, old man. Show them, old man. There it is. He's got a pie in one hand. He's got hot cocoa in the other. My man's double-fisting already. Thanksgiving has not started yet for everybody else, but it has for Rit. On air, on camera. All right, so the reason why I'm so hyped up and why we've got so many things we have to get done, it's a Wednesday, so Wednesday is always a busy day, but because it's short week, I'm going to jam even more devices into it. First and foremost, this is the most important thing for our purposes right now. The What's Your Beef segment is happening today at the top of hour number two. It takes us time to set that up, so get your beefs in right now. Hit me up on social media immediately with your beefs. Start calling the program immediately with your beefs. It's a top of the hour, second hour thing today. What's your beef? 10 a.m. Pacific time and 1 p.m. Eastern time. 1-800-636-8686. Set it up. Get in the rotation. Hit me up on social at Jim Rome. Beef segment. And by now you should know you could beef about anything you want. Literally anything. You know, I used to say sports, non-sports, personal, professional, social. Now I'm just going to say anything you want is fair game. So the beef segment's coming up at 10 o'clock Pacific. Before that, I've got the head basketball coach at St. Bonaventure, Mark Schmidt. My man Woj is all about that. Woj loves his college. Woj already texted me. He's hyped. Mark Schmidt, St. Bonaventure head coach, comes up at 9:40. What's your beef at 10? Bucky Brooks, NFL Network analyst, at the top of hour number three. Also in hour number three, Devin Leary, quarterback at NC State. On top of that, I've got the week that was. Alvy's 3 days that were. I've got an ATP. I've got a Jim Rome podcast that we're pushing out. And I'm going to predict that you're going to like that. Ep 199 with Brian Baldinger. How do I know you're going to like
What's
that? Your prediction? I've already done it. So that will push out after the program. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we start with the Lakers? Remember all that talk Sunday night about how the Lakers finally found themselves in the fourth quarter against the Pistons? Remember that. All that talk. They've got it. They found it. That's what they've been looking for. Remember all that talk? Neither do I. And I'm guessing they don't either. Remember all that talk that the alleged title contenders found something that worked in that comeback against the, let me check my notes here, 4-win Pistons. And that LeBron getting ejected from that game and trailing Detroit by double digits and coming back to win was going to be such a great thing. Remember when they were going to be the new Lakers come Sunday? Yeah, well, the same old Lakers showed up against the Knicks last night. Bing bong! Here's a 2x4 to the chiclets. Here's Julius Randle bodying AD. And here's Mr. Don't Google killing you from deep.
It's another shot, another three, and another hit. A timeout taken by L.A. and Frank Vogel. Two threes put up and in by Evan Fournier.
Mr. Don't Google. knocking that one in. You know that whole thing about we're a new team. We're different. Yeah, now we're down 10-0 to start the game. And it only got worse. They fell behind by 25 in the first half. Found it, then lost it. Grand opening, grand closing. They were getting beat from deep, and they were getting beat over the top.
Nice shot outside, put up and in. Wayne Ellington, who is 34% from three, and at the other end, Toppin was climbing and puts it through. Nice feed.
And yes, I'm well aware that LeBron was suspended, and I'm well aware that AD was sick. I know, shocking. And that Russ always has a slow start to the season. I know all that. I just don't really care. Because that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here is what Russ himself had to say after the game. Listen to this.
We weren't playing hard enough. Simple.
Quote, we weren't playing hard enough. Simple.
We weren't playing hard enough. Simple.
Man, that is the truth. Last night was not about LeBron not being there or about AD being sick. It was about guys not playing hard enough. I mean, that doesn't mean that if they played harder, all their problems would be solved, because they wouldn't. There's still some real problems with that roster. But playing hard is like the so-called great deodorant. And right now, Slider, you stink.
Slider, you stink.
Lakers, you stink.
Slider, you stink.
Fact. Even Lakers.
Slider.
You stink, man.
You stink.
Even when they made a run in the second half, Emmanuel quickly killed them time and time and time again.
The shot clock at five. And the ball jarred free. Quickly triple. Yes! Quickly with a three. Rolls in good. Quickly got it! Another basket. It's a three. Emmanuel quickly hitting from outside. Emmanuel quickly. Late first round pick. Another three. And good! He got another one! Ringing him up from outside.
Lakers, you stink.
Slider, you stink.
Listen, I know that they try to get serious in the second half, but given LeBron's point the other day about, well, it's not time to panic, they do need to show or start playing with a sense of urgency. How were they not playing with a sense of urgency from the very jump? I can answer that question. Lakers, you stink. Let me tell you something.
You stink.
I understand the issues of chemistry. I understand that meshing is going to take some time. All these things take time, but busting your ass does not. You don't need time together to do that. You just do it. And these guys don't. And it's not me questioning their effort. It's Russ questioning their effort. Getting beat is one thing, but not going as hard as you can from the second you hit the floor is another. Like, that's inexcusable. Wait, have you got someplace else you'd rather be? Do you have something else you'd rather be doing when you're actually on the floor? I mean, get the hell out of here with that. They're not back. They're back to doing the bullcrap things that makes them a sub-500 team. That's what they are right now. They're not back. They're back to being under 500. And I don't want to hear about how it's the fourth game of the road trip. You're playing in Madison Square Garden, the Mecca. And everybody is looking at you. Everybody is questioning you. Everybody is mocking you. There's even a few people going, Lakers, you stink.
You stink.
And you still no-show in the first half? You still have nothing to prove? You still are going to show up and half-ass it for half the game. I mean, it's inexcusable, especially for a team and an organization that allegedly was going all in and was all about the ring this year. Believe me, right about now, you look way more lottery than you do Larry O. Laker car flags are getting snapped in two all over this town this morning. And you know what's lamer than thinking they somehow got right against the Pistons? A team that they beat that was a four-win team. Congratulations. And didn't even look good doing it. You got right in that game? Man, that was no wake-up call. No one's going to look back on that huge win over the four-win Pistons and say that's the moment it all changed. That's when our season turned. Because nothing has changed. They're just not a good team. They're not a good team. That's just a fact. I'm not saying that they're the worst team in the league, although I wish I were, and I wish they were. Then at least they'd be giving me the F that I want. You know, give me an A or give me an F. But this C-minus, D-plus bullcrap isn't doing jack for anybody. Then again, when LeBron's not on the floor, they are an F. Just a bunch of randos who have about as much chemistry as some lunchtime run at the local Y. Like, their spacing is a joke. Their communication on defense is even worse. I mean, I can go on and on. They're 9-10. They're exactly what their record says they are, a big-ass disappointment so far. And yes, I am well aware that they're built for May and June, and that November really doesn't matter very much to them at all. And they sure as hell are playing like it, right? Just don't come back. Don't tell me that a comeback win on a bad Pistons team and a flash or two against the Knicks means that it's okay. They're back. It's going to be fine. It doesn't mean that. And I'm not going to say all of this is on Russ, but there is definitely a trend there. Like, this was the guy that was brought in to bail out the Lakers when LeBron and AD were not on the floor. The guy who could carry the offensive load. That's why they brought this guy in. Last night, LeBron was out, AD was sick, and Russ was brutal in the first half. 1-for-5 from the field, 6 points, 5 turnovers, and even though he had to know that the media was going to ask him about that, he still got prickly when it came up.
It's funny you mentioned turnovers. I haven't heard you ask me that question about 5 games. You know why?
Yes, Russ, we know why. We do know why. Because you had 12 turnovers in the previous 4 games. That's good. People are not going to ask you about your turnovers when you're not turning it over. But they will ask you when you turn it over as much as you did last night. I mean, come on, Russ. Do better than that. Do better on the floor on a consistent basis. And do better in owning it when you don't play well. Do better when reporters are just doing their job. If you turn it over that many times, you know you're going to be asked about it. You probably should have a better answer locked and loaded. In fact, I'll even give it to you. I will even give you the answer. The answer is, I need to play better. The answer is, I need to do a better job of taking care of the ball. The answer is not, hey, how come this didn't come up the last few games? Because you took care of the ball. This is not about the media having it in for you. This is not about the media coming for you. This is not about the media having some kind of conspiracy against you. This is about the media doing its job on a night where you did not play well. And yes, you're going to hear about it if you're wearing a Laker gamer, much more so than if you were still a member of the Thunder. This is how this goes, all right? You're back in LA, Rush. You know LA. You played your college ball here. You know how this goes. This is not some grand conspiracy. The media is not out to get you. They're not coming for you. It's just how things work. You know, kind of like people talk to Frank Vogel about LeBron being suspended last night. He didn't say, hey, it's funny that you didn't ask me that the other 1,300 times he wasn't suspended. No, it came up because he was suspended. And the team looked like hell again without him. And as long as we're talking about turnovers in recent history, it is true you had 12 in the previous 4 games. And the 4 games before that, you were averaging nearly 7 per game. So yes, Russ, it's going to be a topic. And yes, you were great in the third quarter when you had 18 in a run that got the Lakers back into the game. But you, Russ, were a huge reason why they were down 25 in the first place. That's what's so weird. Like, the turnovers vanished in the second half, and the production went up, so it's proof that he can still do it. He can carry that team when LeBron is out and AD is, whatever AD is, sick.
After the street closed Davis.
He just can't do it consistently. So yeah, Russ, I'm not sure what it is either. And I'm not saying it's all on you. The entire team is like that right now. That's how you get to be 9-10 on the season. You play okay sometimes, and you play like garbage most of the time. And last night was a lot of garbage. So stop blaming the media, Russ. We're not the ones with the ball in our hands. You are. My man, your stat line looks worse than Isaiah Stewart's bloodied up face. I wonder if Braun has another closed fist cheap shot to somebody else locked and loaded to get his team a win. I mean, that's the formula, right? That's when you guys turn it on, right? By the All-Star break, LeBron might kill somebody on the court like he killed the moving picture medium with Space Jam 2. That was LeBron taking a closed fist and going with a spinning hammer fist to the entire movie industry when he made Space Jam 2. That movie is just bleeding all over everybody right now.
I have a question about five games. You know why?
They've got the staple gun out. They're trying to close the cut.
Bing,
bam, bam, staples. The movie industry, I mean. At least they're handling it well. Another bad night for the Lakers. Hey, yeah, this just in. They didn't get right against the Pistons. That's not going to be the night or the game that we all look back on and say, yep, yep, that's when it all changed. And nothing changed. They were down by 25 last night. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. Something that I hate to do, but it's long overdue. I do have a question. The hell are the Lions on TV every single Thanksgiving? Is there some backroom deal that I don't know about? Do they have something on the league? Why are we subjected to that? And I have to have a better reason than, well, it's just the way it's always been. Well, it's just tradition. Well, they've done it since the 1930s. There's a lot of stuff that went down in the 1930s that they stopped doing a long time ago. Yet there they are. The Lions wrecking Thanksgiving every single year. Why? Why? Why do I have to? Why do I have to? We'll get into that. I've got more thoughts on AD. AD gets his own take, actually. Mets are still the Mets and doing Mets things. How about Eli Drinkwitz going in on Dan Mullen? That's pretty funny. Listen, really importantly, though, the What's Your Beef segment is at the top of hour number two, so we're already within 45 minutes. I need to line that thing up. Start dialing or calling in 1-800-636-8686. What's Your Beef? It can be anything at all. Anything at all. Just come strong with it. It is Thanksgiving week, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has your shot to gobble up lots of winnings. New customers can play for free for millions with their first deposit, and nothing goes better with your turkey, your stuffing, and your pie than feasting on big cash prizes from DraftKings. You do not want to sleep on this offer. Playing daily fantasy football is simple. Just pick your lineup of NFL stars while staying under the salary cap, and then score enough points and bring home the big cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, you'll have another reason to be thankful this year. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. That's key. You don't want to have to fight to get your money back. Download the DraftKings app, use the code ROME, and play for free for millions this Thanksgiving weekend. Codename ROME, R-O-M-E, to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with that first deposit. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Like what I see, the phone lines are jamming up. It's not too late, though. You can still get through. The beef segment is at the top of the hour. 1-800-636-8686. What better way to go into a Thanksgiving weekend than with some sincere, legitimate beef? Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people that you know you can trust. Do you need gift ideas? Their holiday gift guide has something for everybody on your list at prices under $15, such as a pair of Mechanics Wear black coated winter gloves, a power torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a slime digital tire gauge, and so much more. Check out the holiday gift guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or go to O'ReillyAuto.com. They will even offer convenient options for you to get your order quickly. Purchase online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local store. They'll bring it to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your parts and your holiday gifts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. All right, so once again, Mark Schmidt, next segment. What's your beef? Top of hour number two. Bucky Brooks in the third hour. Let's get some quick reaction. Jimmy tweets, Jim, even I think the Lakers stink. Regards, Jim Harbaugh's record against Ohio State.
You stink.
So I don't know if you're on WinBet or where you're looking. The number that I'm seeing right now is Michigan plus 7.5 at home. So if you're looking at the year they're having, and you can get that kind of value at home, would you not look at that? Or would you look at his body of work and know that whenever he gets into a game on a big stage against a top 10 team, he gets his ass kicked? Are you going to bet that way? I know this. Jimmy, my man, you better get it done this weekend. If Ohio State comes into your house and knocks you the hell out again, I don't even know. There are no words at this point. There's no new way to say it. Better have your boys ready. Coach them up, Jim. This better be the year that you end that streak. You've got the team you want. You've got them in your house. And still nobody buys into them. 7.5-point dogs in your own house with the year you're having. That's going to be really interesting. How you clones playing that game? I wonder how the big head is playing that game. I wouldn't know because he punked out and didn't come in today. Big punk. Come on, head. Be better than that. Yeah, I don't have the injury reports. Oh, you don't have the injury reports. Okay. Hey, Jim. Russell Westbrook did a great job of taking care of the ball. Signed, Daniel Jones. Like, Russ, I understand that Russ is always going to be different. He is different. Maybe the best athlete I've ever seen in the NBA. I mean that. Maybe the most athletic guy I have ever seen in the NBA. But he's got to be a hell of a lot better than if you turn it over a half a dozen times in the first half and the media says, like, what's going on? What happened? You can't say, oh, yeah. Convenient that you bring that up now, but you didn't the last three games. Right, Russ? Because you didn't turn it over in the last three games. I mean, I understand that he gets prickly with the media, but even for him, I can't believe that that was the exchange.
You know why?
Yeah, we know why. Because you turned it over last night, but not in the three games prior. That's why, Russ. A better question, Russ, would be, do you know why? We know why.
You know why?
Yeah, we know why. And you're not going to win that fight.
You know why?
You're not going to win that battle. If anything, can I tell you something? If anything, the media here and nationally fawns over the Lakers. It's easier, right? It's easier. It'd be much worse in Philly, in New York, in Chicago. The national media and the media here are much easier to deal with when it comes to the Lakers. So no one's coming for you. Jim, you are what your record is. That places the Lakers on the same plane as the Cavaliers and the T-Wolves. Dan in Tucson, fair. It's true. Right now, they're not a good team. I'm not saying they're the worst team. Although, like I said, I wish I were saying that because then I'd have an F to talk about. Nobody cares about a C-. And how they're playing in November obviously does not matter to them. Look at how they're playing in November. But right now, they're not a good team. Total Big E tweets, you're right, Tan Smack. The Lakers' spacing is a problem. Yours, Mike Strahan's teeth. You know, another bad take. Like, Strahan was an amazing player, and he's even bigger off the field than he ever was on the field. So what are you talking about? and that gap in his teeth, actually a trademark. It's a good thing. It works for him. Hey, Total Big E, do you have your own clothing line? Are you on every network show that matters? Do you fly private? Are you making probably way more money now than you did when you were a star in the NFL? Can you answer yes to any of these questions? Total Big E. No, check that. Maybe Total Big E. Does everybody love you? Total Big E. Men, women, kids, grandmas, grandpas, dogs. Are you in the Hall of Fame also, Big E? Then stop talking about this guy's teeth. Jamie in Green Bay, quote, nobody wants to work on Thanksgiving, so why not make the worst team in NFL history, the Lions, do it? Because we're not working, Jamie, and we want something cool to watch. That's why. I mean, I've got a take on it, but I
know why.
There's got to be a better explanation than this is the way we've always done it. Otherwise, things that are crap would never change. This is the way we've always done it. It's tradition. It's a really crappy tradition. Yeah, but we've done it since the 1930s. Really? What would this world look like if time stood still in 1934 and nothing ever changed? What would our life be like? 34? We'd have nothing, man. So don't say that, yeah, well, we've been doing it since the 30s. Oh, okay. Take my phone, take the microwave, take my car, take everything. Let's just lock everything in place and freeze it in 1934. That's the argument you're making. Why are they on our TV every Thanksgiving? Why are you taking the best day of the year and trying to ruin it by putting the Lions on? And Detroit Lion fan, I'm not directing that at you. You know I love you. I love the city. I love you. I just hate watching that team on Thanksgiving Day. That's the one day I can put my feet up. No way. The Lions are on again. No way they're getting their asses kicked again. No way. Not only is it the Lions, but it's the Lions and the Bears. How would you like to be Coach Pennis? Matt Nagy right about now. This guy obviously, and although he denied a report to the contrary, he's obviously coaching for his job. Can you imagine this guy having to go to battle on Thanksgiving Day against the Lions of all teams without your starting quarterback and your job hangs in the balance? Wouldn't want to be that guy. And can I tell you, not only am I not here to get anybody fired, that's the one guy that I don't want fired. Let me repeat that. That is the one guy that I do not want fired. Two reasons. One, I don't give a damn whether the Bears win or lose. Two, he's good for team content. He might be terrible for team Bears, but he's great for team content. I don't want that guy getting broken off. Trust me, I will be rooting hard for the Bears. Because once this guy's gone, he's gone. He's not good for team Bears, but he is awesome for team content. I want them to win. I'll just say it point blank. I'll even bet them. I want them to win. And I'll say this for the record. I am rooting for them to win. Because I don't want to lose that guy. We need that guy. For team content. All right, when we come back, we are talking St. Bonaventure basketball. Head coach Mark Schmidt joins me on the other side. I need you to hit me up with your beef. Top of the hour. It's coming fast. What is your beef? Let's get you a...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy holidays. What's up? Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So, I started a number of thoughts and topics. I want to finish them. However, I need to do this first. I'm eager to do this first. We are joined by the head basketball coach at St. Bonaventure, 15th season with the Bonnies. Two-time conference coach of the year, led them to a couple of conference titles, two conference tournament titles, three NCAA tournaments. St. Bonaventure, 5-0 this season. They're number 16 in both polls, and they're at home against Northern Iowa on Saturday. Mark Schmidt is my guest. Mark, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you. All right, so there's lots to cover, and I want to get into. But before we do that, Mark, you are unbeaten. You did just beat Marquette. You've got the highest ranking in the polls for the program in 50 years. I've got to know, what's the vibe and the buzz like around campus and the program these days?
It's a great buzz. As you know, it's, you know, we've been really good, you know, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and with Bob Lanier and so forth. And we haven't been ranked in 50 years. And this is a basketball school. It's, you know, the tradition is unbelievable. And, you know, people are really excited. You know, I'm just honored to be able to coach a team that has this talent. And, you know, hopefully we can stay healthy and we can have a good season.
That's it. Mark Schmidt joining us. I understand you're looking forward, but I do have to ask you. You went to the Charleston Classic last week. You beat Boise State. You beat Clemson. And then you thrashed Marquette in the championship game. I mean, how special of a run was that for you personally and for the program?
It was great. You know, I've been here 15 years, and you know, never would have thought that we would have been invited to such a prestigious tournament. And you know, you have West Virginia there, and Ole Miss, and Marquette, and Clemson, and you know, great programs, great coaches. And for us to be able to come out of there with a championship is really a credit to our players, the way they played, the way they were able to turn the page and go on to the next game. And it was just, it was terrific, you know, for our school. We had, you know, 1,500 people came down from Olean to really celebrate with us. And it was great for our university. And, you know, being on ESPN and you know, all that is something that is terrific for us.
That is fun. Mark Schmidt's joining us. You mentioned the players. Let me ask you about one or two of them. I want to start with Kyle Lofton. He was the MVP of the Classic. He's played all but 6 minutes, and he's played 94% of the team's minutes over the past 3 years. What has he meant to you and to the program?
Jim, he's the quarterback. You know, I grew up in Boston, and, you know, Tom Brady's no longer with the Patriots, but he's our Tom Brady. He runs our team. You know, he was named captain by his teammates his freshman year, so that tells you, you know, all you need to know about him as a kid. He's just hits big shots. You know, he's the leader. He's the guy that gives our guys confidence. He's a special player, a special kid. A special player, and you know, one of the reasons why we've had so much success in the last 4 years.
Mark Schmidt's my guest. What about Oshun Oshunier? He was Lofton's high school classmate. He was named the conference defensive player of the year last year. He had offers to play at Syracuse, Georgetown. I'm curious, what was the vision that you shared with him and Lofton to make them feel like St. Bonaventure was the place for them?
Yeah, we got Kyle first. They both went to Putnam Science Academy in Connecticut, and we recruited Kyle first, and Kyle committed, and Oshunier was going to he was going to LaSalle, and you know, their coach got fired, and Kyle became the biggest recruiter, and you know, we just told them, you know, what we saw. We had a kid, Andrew Nicholson, who was the a first round pick back in 2012 for the Magic, and we just told him, hey, this is what we can do. You know, it's a basketball school. You know, we really take individual improvement, skill development really seriously, and you know, and if he wants to be a player, this is a place that he could come to. You know, and rather than going to Syracuse and Georgetown and sitting on the bench for a couple of years, he can come here and make an immediate impact, and that's what he's done. And he's a great defensive player. You know, we have a really good defensive team, and a lot has to do with his presence inside. You know, when our guys make mistakes, he's there to protect the rim, and he has a knack for blocking shots. And you know, we as coaches can take all the credit in the world, but you know, he understands. He just has a talent for it, and he knows when to take a block a shot, and he knows when to take a charge, and he's just been fabulous for us.
We are talking to Mark Schmidt. So, Mark, let me ask you, like, as you mentioned, the program's got amazing tradition and history, but had not had a lot of success in recent years. So what was it? I mean, the program was in a tough spot when you first got there. What was it then about this job and this opportunity that appealed to you so much?
You know, Jim, my Skip Prosser was my guy. And I remember I was an assistant at Xavier, and we came up here when Xavier was in the Atlantic 10. And you know, 2 or 3 years, they weren't very good, but the crowd was still there. You know, the people still came out and supported them. And the last time we came up, we lost back in, I don't know, was 2000 maybe. And I remember going back to the airport with Skip and saying, Skip, I've never been in a louder place in my life. And, you know, when this job opened up, I sat and I talked to Coach, and he told me, it's like, hey, it's not a graveyard. They had one before. Why can't you bring them back? And it wasn't just me. It's, you know, I have a great staff. a great administration, and they wanted to win her again. They wanted to do it the right way, but they wanted to bring that tradition back. And lucky enough, you know, we have, and we're not satisfied. We need to continue to improve. But where it was 15 years ago until, you know, where it is today, it's been a magical run for us.
You know, Mark, you just said that Skip Prosser was my guy. I would argue that Skip literally was everybody's guy. Yep. I mean, I can't say how many guys I've talked to on this program, Mark, that coached with him, played with him, knew him. He is absolutely beloved and universally respected and loved. What was it about Skip that made him so special?
He treated everybody the same. You know, no matter if you were the greatest coach in the world or you were the custodian that wiped up the floor, he treated everybody the same. He was a great coach, but he was all about relationships. He always used to tell me, it's, you know, 10% of the game is X's and O's, and 90% of the game is to get the kids to play hard for you. And how do you get them to play hard? Those kids have to know that you love them. And that's what Skip was. A great coach, a better man. You know, he's missed. You know, he's, you know, in the basketball world, you know, when you say Skip Prosser, you're exactly right, Jim. You know, when you talk about him as a person, the values, his morals, he was just a special man, and he taught me a great deal about this business and how to coach and how to treat people.
I would say not only, Mark, in the sport of basketball, I know people in other sports and other walks of life who have connected with Skip to say the exact same thing. I mean, he was transcendent in that regard. This is a very, very unique person. Mark Schmidt's joining us. For those who don't know, Mark, you have one of the most fascinating journeys in college coaching. You played your college ball at Boston College as part of the first recruiting class after the point shaving scandal. What was that time like for you?
You know something, as an 18-year-old guy, Jim, you're really not even thinking about this whole point shaving thing, and really, it's, you know, it was my sophomore year when the conviction came through in 1983, and I remember the FBI agents coming into the locker room and really explaining it to the team, and you know, being 18, 19 years old, you're really, you know, nervous, and you know, these guys with their suits and their, you know, their shoes, you can see their face through. It was really intimidating, and but you know, we had really good teams. You know, we went to two Sweet 16s, we went to an Elite Eight. You know, we had great players, Michael Adams, John Bagley, and great coaches, and Gary Williams and Tom Davis, and those were great times for Boston College. You know, the Flutie years with the Heisman Trophy and all that. So it was a great college experience for me.
Oh, you bet. Your senior year, you guys upset Duke in the tournament. You went to the Sweet 16. I got to ask you this, Mark, before you go, because there was a point in time where you got into selling health and beauty products in Massachusetts. I ask you this because I tried sales, and I still have nightmares. I mean, I got my ass kicked every day, all day. It is a hard, hard gig. What did you take away from your time in sales, and what do you remember about it?
I wanted to get into coaching.
Yeah, right?
No, I sold Bayer aspirin, and you know, for 20 months. And it was, you know, I had my company car, and it was good money. But I missed the camaraderie of the locker room, of being a team. Everything was like, as a salesman, you're trying to reach a quota and all that stuff. And it was very, very, I don't know, selfish, I guess. You're just thinking about yourself. And, you know, as a basketball player, it's about the team. And that's what I missed, and I had no idea, Jim. It's like I was going back to get my master's degree, and I started substitute teaching to get some money, and they asked me to be the freshman football coach at my high school, and I played football in high school, but I had no idea. And I started coaching football, and I'm like, man, I love this. And I started, you know, then I got the JV basketball coach and JV baseball coach, and then I, you know, parlayed that into an assistant's job at St. Michael's College up in Winooski, Vermont. For $6,300, and that's how my career started. My parents are asking me, "What the heck are you doing, Mark? You graduated from Boston College, and now you're making $6,300. You know, being 25 years old." But I made the right decision. I had a lot of luck along the way, and we talked about Skip Prosser. He was the guy that really got me going, and I hold, you know, I give everything to him.
It's such a funny story you just tell. Like, I've shared this story to myself, Mark, but my father was from Boston, and he went to BU. He went to Brookline High School. And I remember when I got my start in Santa Barbara doing radio, not making very much money, he calls me up. This was long before there was cell phone technology. He's like, what are you doing up there? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing up there? He's like, what are you doing up there? I'm like, I'm working my ass off up here. Why do you ask? He's like, your mother and I are concerned that you're pissing your life away. I'm like, well, are you kidding? I've got an ulcer. I'm 25. I work 100 hours a week. What do you mean, what am I doing up here? So I know that conversation you're talking about where your parents are saying, wait a minute, man, you went to college. What are you doing making $6,300? Right?
I know. And it's funny. And then in the summertime, because my job at St. Michael's was only a nine-month job, you know, I worked for Coca-Cola. And I didn't even drive a truck. I was shotgun, you know, building displays for Stop and Shop and so forth. And, you know, it's a funny story. And you look back, and it's pretty humbling. But it's at the time you thought, you know, everything's fine. Mom and Dad, you're crazy. Everything will be all right. And you look back and, like, you know, you think about what was I thinking back then? But it all worked out.
Hey, by the way, the reason it all worked out is because you did those things. I knew I was not cut out for that work. I couldn't do it, man. I have nothing but respect for people who cold call and prospect, man. That is a tough gig with a lot of pressure. I get it.
Yeah. So, but same, it teaches you.
Yes, it did.
You know, it deals with adversity, and it teaches you so much. I wouldn't be in the position I am today without, you know, those early struggles.
I think what it taught me was this. I don't know that it made me tougher because I quit. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough quit. I quit, but I learned soon enough. Why don't you chase the thing that you love and chase it with everything you have? Otherwise, you're going to be doing this, and it's not going to go well. St. Bonaventure's 5-0. They are number 16 in both polls. They're at home against Northern Iowa. Their head coach is Mark Schmidt. Mark, great conversation. Great to talk some St. Bonaventure basketball with you, and I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Jim. I appreciate it.
That was fun. Mark Schmidt, good job. Bonnie's 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. I had that conversation with my mom. And once we said that, my mom, she's tough. She's tough now. She's like, nah, that's not how that went. I'm like, Mom, respectfully, that's exactly how that went. And my mother's response to me when I said that to her was, well, if it works for you. I'm like, dang, Mom. It's some straight fire from Jan. Well, yeah, it works for me because it's true. The truth always works. Stay tuned. We'll come right back.